he has to choose between coming early, and because of that you'll have to leave Seder early. I'd rather that you come to Seder on time and stay in Seder on time rather than come early and have to leave early. Currently the Sefer that we'll learn for a longer period of time is being discussed, I thought we'd begin with the Igeres HaRamban. Points out over here, it's this introduction, Igeres HaZos, Sholach HaRamban Meiro LeCatalonia LeBeno, the Ramban had a son named Nachman, there's Moshe ben Nachman, and a son named Nachman, Al HaAnava, V'tzivashi Kareena Pamachas B'Shavua, V'yomedu Gam Acherim Imo, V'yerogil Bo Ba'alpeh, Kedei Lechanacham B'yaldutam B'yirat Shamayim. Something mistaken print over here. The Ubisro, in other words, he informed him, Shebiyom Shikrei Geret Zo, Shianuhum in Shamayim, Komai Shishal, there's a school involved as well. Homisha Ragil Omro, Bavada Yehinitza Mikol Tsara, Muftach Loshu Ben Olam Haba. Okay. Leaving aside the aspects of the skula, simply what the Ramban over here tried to do was to give us Judaism a regal achas, the concept of having a summary, putting things into a nutshell. HaKadosh Baruch Hu already set the tone for that. Parshas Ekev, Va'ata Yisrael Ma Hashem Elokecha Shel Meimach Ki Im Liyira Es Hashem Elokecha. 1. Aleches Bechol Derachav. 2. Liyahava Oso. 3. Lavod Et Hashem Elokecha Bechol Revavecha Bechol Nafshecha. 4. V'lishmor Kol Mitzvos Hashem V'yasku Kosav Asher Anochim Et Sabacha Hayom. 5. L'tov Lach. Right, that all of Judaism can be reduced to five principles, five axioms. So over here also the Ramban tries to reduce everything just to give us a sense of what a Jew should be looking at, and not in terms of the forest, but to be able to see the trees, to be able to see the other way around. Not to get caught in the trees, but to be able to see the forest, to have an overview, to be able to within a period of 5 minutes, put one's life in perspective. And therefore, if one were to read this constantly, it would keep one in perspective throughout his entire life, and he'd be able to do things that are directed towards a certain purpose. So in that respect, we'll learn the Igeres of the Ramban, just to see how a Gadol Barishonim, how he was able to view what is the classic Avodas Hashem of every Jew, and then of course everyone has to put it, in terms of the details, into his own life. Shma bini musar avicha v'al titosh toras imecha. This is not just a pasuk. This is a heading. This is a rosh perek. The first word shma. When I grew up, Shlomo Carlebach was very popular as a singer. Since then, he became very popular as a philosopher. So he claimed, and I think that he has there's a nekudah of emes, that the verb Shema is the verb that defines a Jew. Shema Yisrael. You want to know who Yisrael is? Shema Yisrael. Yisrael is someone who is Shomea. Shomea doesn't only mean to hear. Shomea means to be sensitive to everything which is going on around us. These last few months in Eretz Yisrael have been very, very traumatic. I'm sure you've been following along from America. And there were whole groups of soldiers that were trained to move a population from area to area. Part of their psychological training was to learn Ech lehakshiv b'li lishmoa, how to listen without hearing. Namely, that the person could go, they could go into a house and there'll be a mother and the children and they'll be crying and telling their story and appealing to the emotions. And they were trained to be able to listen, to stand there very, very kindly listening, but without hearing, without it affecting them one iota, so they could follow out whatever their mission was. That's not Jewish. Okay, Jewish is Shema, in other words, to be able to be sensitive to that which one is hearing. And over here, the sensitivity of Shlomo HaMelech points out, Shema b'ni musar avicha ve'al titosh tarat imecha. The sensitivity basically should be to what your parents are teaching you. What over here is this inyan of parents? I heard once from Rav David Gottlieb, who teaches in Or Sameach, he's a Boston Rav Chassid, used to be professor of philosophy in Johns Hopkins. He told me, in the name of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky thought about the biological development of man as opposed to the rest of the world, and pointed out there's a tremendous anomaly. I don't know exactly how the Darwinians deal with this, but we have a concept of survival of the fittest. There is a sense of moving up a ladder in terms of evolution from at least a philosophical perspective. In terms of all living creatures, be they in the animal kingdom or the bird kingdom or the fish kingdom, the young in a relatively short period of time become independent. Right? That if you've ever seen a horse give birth, so after a few minutes the foal begins to shake itself, stand up and begin walking around, and then begins to nurse, and after a few months is already totally running around in the field. Huhadin, anyone who raised guppies, right? So if their mother doesn't eat them, the guppies, the little ones, just begin to swim around, and they begin immediately to eat. Huhadin in terms of birth, all of nature except for man. And now you would think that, you know, in terms of evolution, it should be that, I mean, even chimpanzees, the little ones become relatively independent at a relatively young age. And yet with man, a baby is totally helpless, totally, totally helpless for months of its life, and without the constant care of its parents would not be able to make it into the world. So the question is, why, I mean, we, you know, how we evolutionists deal with it, I have no idea. But how do we deal with it in terms of trying to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's purpose in terms of building this into man, that man is so advanced in every other area other than this childhood, that a babyhood and childhood that a man goes through until he becomes somewhat independent. Maybe a three-year-old would be able to fend for itself, maybe, but 3 years, and it's a tremendously long period of time to be totally dependent. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky had the following theory. He said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make man totally dependent upon his parents, that he will believe them in terms of what they tell him happened in the past. Namely, man has a concept of history, of the past. But the question is, how does he view what the parents tell him? Does he view it as fairy tales? Does he view it as shtuyot that simply he has to listen to because there's this mitzvah to be nice to his parents? Or does he have this tremendous sense of gratitude towards his parents that when they tell him, your grandfather stood at Har Sinai, your great-grandmother was over B'yam Suf, your great-great-great-grandfather knew Avram Avinu, that then this becomes part of his reality. It becomes part and parcel of who he is. So in that respect, Shema b'ni Musar Avicha v'al titosh tarat imecha, there's a sense over here of a masoret that HaKadosh Baruch Hu built into nature in order to be able to build it into our psyche very, very deeply. That's what I heard from Rav David Gottlieb. In a lot of books about different gedolim, there's another story which is told, and I heard it dafka from the person that it happened to. I won't mention his name because it's a little embarrassing for him. But there was a cabinet minister from Israel who later had a daughter who married a son of someone I know, who traveled on the same flight business with Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was already quite advanced in age, and he was traveling. Family put him on business, or the yeshiva put him on business. And this cabinet minister, because of his stature, was also traveling business. And each of them had a grandson who was in coach. And the cabinet minister saw that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's grandson kept that every so often coming to ask his grandfather, "Can I help you? What do you want to go to the bathroom? Would you like a cup of water? You know, how can I help you?" And this cabinet minister also had a grandson who didn't look at him or didn't come to him once during the entire flight. So he said, that he's always amazed at the fact that this appears to be something which is built into religious education, that grandchildren have this care for the grandparents, that in his educational system, they just don't care. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said, "You don't understand, it's a question of hashkafas olam. You believe in evolution, that this generation is much better than the previous generations. If you go back far enough, you'll find your ancestors were monkeys. So therefore, to you, in other words, your grandson views you as being closer to the world of monkeys than him, that he is more advanced than you. So why should he bother to deal with you when you're part of the dinosaur era? Masha Enken, we believe in Yeridas Hadoros. Anyone who is closer to the Gedolim, to Avram, to Yitzhak and Yaakov, that is the ideal. Moshe, Aharon, the Shiva Roim, those were the days. Tanoim, Amoraim, I represent a link to that generation. And therefore, they constantly come to me to be able to link in to the past." That's over here, what the Ramban is pointing out in this one sentence. Shema b'ni Musar Avicha v'al titosh tarat imecha. That we have a perspective, he's telling his son, we have a perspective that what we're building on giants. We're building on that which came before. And hu hadin, when we're going to the world of Musar, we have to see what came? Al kein yomru ha-moshrim ba'u cheshbon. Let's see of those individuals who became moshrim berucho, how did they do it? And then move that over to us. Okay, we'll continue from here. We won't spend the entire year on the Geretz Ramban, but I'd like to spend the next few days at least in the Geretz. So we'll continue, kacha, 10 minutes in the morning before morning Seder. You said you can keep the Geretz that you have. I don't need them back.